This is Ozarks at Large. For decades, most movies had to originate and be produced on or very near the coast. In the past 10 years, digital production has made filmmaking more likely in between Hollywood and New York, though hurdles to getting those movies seen still exist. A free online discussion tomorrow, hosted by Arkansas Cinema Society, will connect filmmakers of the present and future with Jeff Nichols, Arkansas-born writer and director whose films include Loving and Mud, and Emily Best, the founder and CEO of Seed and Spark, an organization supporting filmmakers to tell their stories. Emily says there are more opportunities for independent filmmakers today, but still more work remains to help them out.
Maybe 10 years ago, we started to have this concept of the great democratization of filmmaking, in part because digital cinema became more affordable for people to make, and because we had the internet, and we thought that that would sort of deconcentrate the creative areas. But there were a lot of other barriers to entry to getting films made beyond that. Sometimes it was access to educational resources. And sometimes it was like something of a lack of community organization or sort of the ease of resourcing a production in a place outside of New York or Los Angeles. And now part of, you know, through with the work that organizations like the Film Society are doing and what we're doing at Seed and Spark is really to organize local resources and also to create access and pathways for education and networking that didn't previously exist in outside of the major markets.
What sort of pathways are we talking about that can now or do exist that didn't, say, just 10 years ago?
The traditional route when I was coming up with my first film, which we did in Southeast Arkansas, called Shotgun Stories, was to make a film, send it, submit it to Sundance, cross your fingers, hope for the best, hope to go play at a major festival, hope to be seen by a distributor, hopefully a theatrical distributor, because that was back when the term straight to video felt like, you know, a lesser form of distribution. And that was the gold standard, you know, to play at Sundance and get a theatrical release. And then your movie goes, it plays internationally and all of the acclaim and everything else. I think that was the traditional model. And obviously now, all those models have been upended, even so far as to say the path through film festivals and other things for traditionally independent films. All of that is shifting under our feet as we speak. And so, you know, if you are a person that is interested in making content and making content that is regionally specific, you now have a different task at hand. It's no easier or harder. It is just maybe you're knocking on different doors in terms of thinking about where your film or your content could potentially go and play. Obviously now streaming services are the vast majority of purveyors of content.
When I was a kid growing up in Nowheresville, rural Arkansas, I only saw seemingly movies that were made about cities on the coast, and I felt marginalized, and I was a white straight kid. So the movies that can be made now with different perspectives and different points of view, you think about the future filmmakers to be who are seeing those.
That's right. So I grew up in Sacramento, California, which is, it's California's capital city, except nobody really thinks of it when they think of California. And I get it. I grew up here. But Greta Gerwig made Lady Bird, and the Tower Theater, which is one of the only independent theaters in greater Sacramento area, the Tower Theater, where I had been going since I was 16, where I had only ever been in a theater that was maybe a third full, no matter what movie I was going to see, and where I was always the youngest person in the theater. The Tower Theater, when I went to see it, I saved it so I could see it in Sacramento, was full for a month and a half in both theaters. They had to put the film on two screens to meet the demand. And people in Sacramento learned what independent film was that day. it basically taught a whole bunch of people what independent film could be, and that they could be a part of the film landscape. And so it doesn't just bolster potential filmmakers, right? I'm sure Sacramento's going to produce hundreds more Greta Gerwigs and versions of her over the next decade because of her. But I would also say that it produced thousands of new independent film consumers, which is a really important part of this equation, and why local creation is so important, because that also put a lot of money in the pockets of the Tower Theater, which is an institution that, like, you know, like all independent theaters, struggles to stay afloat. So it's about stimulating local economy in really important ways as well, and keeping the power in the community, not just to create, but to consume, and to make sure that the dollars are generating more wealth in the local economy. So to me, all of this is about shifting power to local communities through the vector of creativity.
And Jeff, is there an importance too for us to see a movie, if it's about the Arkansas River, to see it's the Arkansas River and not, I remember going to see True Grit with John Wayne, and they crossed the Arkansas River into the Rockies. And that just felt not right. So when you mention regionally specific films, how important is it that they're made where they're set?
For me, it's been kind of a foundational, you know, element of my career. I continue to build all of the projects that I do out of the idea that universality comes through specificity. And I think, you know, the question actually, it's multi-pronged in terms of the answer. One, it addresses the creator, and you, as a creator of storytelling and content, you know, you have to, I think, really look around yourself to find inspiration, because that's where your value is to the rest of the world. You're the only person that can tell that story. And I think that's really important. On the other side of that, what you're really asking about is representation, which is why, you know, we're hearing these people clamor for it. These communities that have been underrepresented I think you can identify with them just as a Southerner and as an Arkansan. We come from a place that has rarely been represented on film, and the South in general, as it has been represented on film, is usually somewhat inaccurate. And so we can understand these other communities, you know, really fighting for representation in this space. It makes sense. And I think what Emily is pointing to with Greta Gerwig and her film being shot in Sacramento is that there is actually, when a place is represented, there's value in it to the industry. People actually respond to it. And so I think it's kind of integral to how stories should be built, but also to how stories will be built in the future.
Jeff Nichols is an Arkansas-born filmmaker who lives in Austin. His movies include Loving and Mud. Emily Best lives in Sacramento. She's the founder and CEO of Seed and Spark. We talked to them last week. They'll participate in a free online conversation about filmmaking tomorrow, facilitated by Arkansas Cinema Society. More information about attending the online session can be found at eventbrite.com. Just search for Seed and Spark.